I am Angela Curry, and I am Executive Director of United Women of Color, and I'm also the liaison for the Citizens Coalition for Criminal Justice Reform.
Is that underneath the United Women of Color's umbrella?
Yes, apparently that is going to be the case. As the Executive Director of United Women of Color, I reached out to other organizational leaders, and I also reached out to other citizens under that title. And after I got all of the feedback that I received, the Citizens Coalition was like, okay, this is where we can group this project. And so we'll have talks with the other organizational leaders as part of the core leadership team, but I do believe it'll just be a project under United Women of Color.
So let's talk about how it was formed. What inspired this coalition of people?
The protests began in Huntsville, and I've protested before, and when I've protested before, I've always felt with, you know, I'm ready to go, let's do something, and then there's like never a what's next. Because of COVID-19 and my kind of dissatisfaction with, yeah, okay, I protested before, I want to do something that after this all blows over, we can look back and say, this is a moment where change happened, or these are the results of the protests and the outcry and all of that. So I kind of, I pondered, I prayed, I meditated to receive, like, what is it that I can do that's meaningful and lasting. And so what came to me was I noticed that all of these different people were saying they had never protested before, but they were out there with their children, and no one was capturing all of these people in one space. So I thought, well, after this blows over and our emotions die down, people are going to go back to their little cubby holes and their bubbles, and we will not have collected or connected all of these people outside of the protest area. So that's where the coalition creating the group came about. Coming up with a list of items was just talking to dozens of people who've either interacted with police or were interested in this in the criminal justice. What would they like to see in their community? What would they like to see improved? And we have a list that's longer than the 10, but we pulled 10 of the most simple, you know, the most, the least complex to present to local leaders, because we realized that the local leaders have never said, you know what, we're going to look into criminal justice reform in our area. So we feel like this is will tell us if they're interested and if we can get the ball rolling.
Can you give us an idea of how many ideas are on that list?
There are about 30 different things that people have expressed, all the way from Black community control of the police or whatever, to defunding the police, to is it a requirement for people to know why they're being told to get out of their car during a police interaction? Because it seems that things go downhill after that happens. And we don't know if that's a requirement because we haven't seen the policies.
And of those, you know, many ideas that people were able to put together, what was the process of paring that down to just 10?
It came from the mindset of our local leaders have not stated that they felt that we had any problems or any need for improvement or reforms. It also came from the thought of our local leadership, like that's a power source, a source of power. So anytime there's a change or a shift requested of a source of power, there's usually resistance. And so what would be the least resistant? What would allow us to get on common ground? And those were the ones that we chose. That's the criteria that we used.
So a sort of foundation, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay, so in addition to the expectations, you had the idea to, or I don't know who had the idea, of a third-party panel of community members to review standard operating procedures for dealing with evidence of racism in policing. So how would you say that that panel differs from the Huntsville Police Citizens Advisory Council?
And that is a good question. Primarily, the one that we are talking about, we would review citizen complaints that came from citizens to citizens, and also through the police department through some online mechanism so that it could be captured and then shared after personal identified information would be taken out. the Citizen Advisory Council, the Huntsville Police Citizen Advisory Council, they are supposed to gather input from the community and suggest improvements and things of that nature. However, I don't know how they do that or when they do that. And our approach would be from a grassroots level. I'm not really sure what their approach is because I've not seen any of their reports.
With that council, have you been able to interact with those members at all and sort of get an idea for what sort of things they hear from the community and, you know, how you would go about implementing their sort of strategies to get the word out to the local leaders and police officials?
Years ago, I attended a couple of meetings, but I did talk to one of the members of the of that particular council, and they stated that what we were asking was reasonable, that they hear us and they want to work with us to help to implement some of the ideas that we have into how they do things. There never was a description of how they hear from the community. So, again, that's if they put their information online and make it publicly viewable, then we would be able to see, oh, okay, they're doing that, so we can scratch that off the list or amend whatever. So it's going to be interesting. So I was on a desegregation advisory committee for the Huntsville City Schools, and we were required to go out into the community, into each district, and meet citizens where they were at times that were convenient for them. So it would be interesting to see if the Citizens Advisory Council actually does that, but I don't think they do.
You think with the coalition, maybe the key would be workshops and going into the community for Q&As and things like that to sort of get an idea of what needs to change?
Yes, even an online needs assessment. You know, we had the music audit that was done. There was a public transportation audit done citywide. So we're expecting engagement on that level from city, you know, down. And also with using technology, texting banks, also going out to different churches, schools, different events that are out. So like there was the Kite Festival. I don't know if they were out intermingling with people at that. But just being visible even for people to know that it exists, because many people in the coalition did not know that it had been around since 2010 until all of this stuff began happening.
So let's talk about that night that everybody is sort of fixated on right now in Huntsville. Wednesday, June 3rd, there was an NAACP peaceful protest scheduled. Kind of last minute, it went from being the cutoff time of 8 o'clock, changed to 6:30. So were you there?
I have not been to any of the protests due to COVID-19 and the high-risk spouse. So I was watching, though, online.
And so that's how you learned of the events.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually had a friend who inboxed me, and then she went live, and I was watching her live stream as the riot team, I don't know what to call them, did what they did. So it was, I was so angry. I couldn't, and then shocked. I couldn't believe that this was going on, and it seemed just to protect buildings is what my observation was.
Chief McMurray, he was saying after 6:30, the people who stayed behind up until, you know, that time right before 8 o'clock, that became an unlawful assembly. So he used non-lethal irritants into the crowd. So in your opinion, do you think that was a necessary preventative measure toward the anarchists, as the police call them, or what would you say?
So I have several things. One, if we utilize the examples of other cities and the reaction of the citizens or the people in that cities to start fires and things of that nature, then we can also use that example to show that we also need reform. So if we need to come with such force to prevent destruction, we need to also have as much support and input from the community and make this a priority to look at our policies and reform what needs to be reformed so we have a true community policing model. That's one. Two, it was totally overkill, in my opinion. I was downtown earlier that day to look where we were going to hold our press conference for Thursday, and I saw that there were businesses totally boarded up. And my thought after was, if these, I just thought, okay, they're being a little extra. But then I come to find out later that they may have had forewarning. And so the thought was, why not take a proactive approach, a stand of leader, diplomatic leadership in state? We have threats coming in from various sources that we feel are credible. And so we want to alert the public to take precautions. And as a precaution, as city, as our local government, we are going to shut down our protests at such and such time. And if you are found in this area after this time, it will be considered unlawful assembly and you will be arrested or detained or what have you. That, to me, that would have made a lot more sense than the confusion and the chaos that ensued instead. I feel we should be proactive rather than reactive. And in my opinion, they were reactive. And they did not take into account the thoughts and the feelings and the needs of the, of individual citizens. They took in consideration the thought and the needs and the desires of businesses, which have insurance that would replace things through claims if they were damaged. Lives, if a life had been lost as a result of what happened on Wednesday, June 3rd, there's no way to recover that. And the fact that we prioritize property over people, to me, demonstrates that's no more clear way to show that we definitely need reform in this area.
Today is June 18th. Yep. So it's been a couple weeks since that's happened. From your own perspective, have you seen change in Huntsville's protests since then, in the police and the protesters?
I think so. However, I don't know if that is attributed to the fact that the protesters may not be applying for permits, so they have opportunity to plan, or if that is an admission of we went overboard, because the public is, nothing has been stated other than we are justified and so we did what we did. So it's kind of hard to tell.
Last Thursday, you attended the city council meeting and you got up and spoke. One of the things that you told a story about is when you were a child, that was your first experience of racism. Can you tell us, in your opinion, has Huntsville changed since then in that attitude toward people of color? Or do we have more work to do?
And that, I have to clarify, was not, that was actually up north where that happened.
Okay.
Since I've been in Huntsville, I honestly feel that we do a good job of masking our problems as it relates to racism. And then there is a, I don't want to say we sweep it under the rug, but it's like a wound that hasn't healed. And then there's an incident. And then it pops. And so then there are these efforts to bring about peace and that warm, fuzzy feeling, but never actually addressing the root causes that caused whatever to pop or the situation to explode or to have tensions come high. So I don't think that we've changed in that regard. So I'm hoping that with this coalition of citizens from all walks of life, that the local government understands that they can't just keep doing that, that they really need to address concerns. And it's not that we hate the area. I think that continuous process improvement is just something that's a part of good business, good relationships, good communication. That's just a given. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily a ding unless we won't address it.
So as you said, you are the executive director of United Women of Color, which is a nonprofit advocating for the advancement of women, girls, and their families. So thinking as the head of this nonprofit, of its mission, what needs to change in Huntsville and Madison County to sort of benefit females, and especially females of color? You attended a seat at the table event held by AL.com, yes, and the Women's Fund of Greater Birmingham, and you said that one thing you really would like to see is a greater diversity of representation in our local government.
That is correct. I feel that we need to redraw the lines of the city. From my understanding, I believe the area is 30% black. So, and then there's a 5% Hispanic population. So I feel like the lines of the districts need to be expanded and they need to be redrawn so that more ethnicities can be represented on the council. If we had, I think, we could have a 13, we could have, you know, I don't think we should limit ourselves for the sake of, I was told that a smaller number allows easier agreement, and I don't think that that's necessarily true. So if we really want to represent the diversity that we have in the area, that should be a step.
And what would you say is the importance of having that diversity representing the people of Huntsville and Madison County?
Because there are multiple people who come from different walks of life. So we have a homeless population. We have a high school diploma, a graduated population. We have a high skilled and high technical background population. We have Hispanic population, some who are dreamers, some who are documented, some who are undocumented. And so with the various backgrounds, we need those voices at the table who understand the lives of the various backgrounds. And so when we limit that number, we limit the perspectives at the table when decisions are made. Are all of these groups being considered? And I don't believe that that's the case.
Looking forward with the Citizens Coalition, what would you say is in the near future? I know that you're looking to getting a website and having collaborations with organizations with similar missions to yours.
We are looking to begin meeting with the different leaders across the area. So our focus right now is going to be Huntsville Police Department. And after we've made traction with our local leaders, so city council, the mayor, community resource officers across the Huntsville Police Department, the chief of police, after we meet the multicultural affairs officer, anyone who we feel that can help support and move these decisions forward, even the Huntsville Police Citizen Advisory Council members, we will begin meeting with them. We have an online petition circulating right now, and we're going to continue to gain support. We have a group who is taking our initiatives to the faith community leaders and having them sign a pledge of support. We would like our city, everyone that we meet with, we would like for them to sign a pledge of support. And we're going to keep pushing that way and showing up at city council, sharing data and our comments. And then as far as we need to keep pushing, that's what we'll continue to do. If we need to put in a full page ad in the newspaper, circulate things via social media, that's what we plan to do.
What is your ideal community for Huntsville? What sort of things would we see after these efforts are carried out and changes are made?
We would see an area that could be a model for the entire country where interactions with police are communal and conversational versus controversial and contentious. Where children and adults don't fear police. When a police officer gets behind me, I get more tense. Where those feelings can be alleviated. And I'm not saying, because apparently there's this school of thought that you either are for the police as they are, or you hate the police and you want them all dead or something. And that's the two extremes. Like, there's so much in the middle in between that. And we are wanting to be actively engaged with how our law enforcement agencies are run. So we want everyone to feel about the police the way the Citizen Advisory Council feels about the police. There's always room for improvement, and we just want to ensure that that takes place.
Is there anything else that you would like to add today?
That anyone who wants to know more about the Citizens Coalition for Criminal Justice Reform, if they would go to look for us on Facebook at CCCJR, we'll also get back to you when our website launches. But we list our 10 expectations for our local government, and this is the beginning of a conversation for reform. And we are looking forward to the entire city being involved with this process.